Pharmacy Nation, I'm Pharmacy Joe. Thank you for listening to the Elective Rotation, a critical care pharmacy podcast. This is episode 314. In this episode, I'll discuss an article about the dose of daptomycin and bacterial clearance, answer the drug information question, should lidocaine be added to potassium infusions to reduce pain, and share a tip for responding to inpatient medical emergencies. I have all the evidence supporting today's show linked up in the show notes at pharmacyjoe.com/episode314. The title of the article for this episode is Survival of Patients with Vancomycin-Resistant Enterococcus Bacteremia Treated with Conventional or High Doses of Daptomycin or Linezolid is Associated with the Rate of Bacterial Clearance. The lead author is Yu Cheng Chuang, and this was published in Critical Care Medicine, June 2018. Vancomycin-resistant Enterococcus bacteremia is a serious healthcare-associated infection. Many recent studies have highlighted the need for using higher doses of daptomycin if it is used for VRE bacteremia. And while linezolid is bacteriostatic in vitro, it has an FDA approval for VRE bacteremia. The authors of this study sought to compare the effects of linezolid and two different dose ranges of daptomycin on bacterial clearance in patients with VRE bloodstream infections. The study was a prospective observational study at two university hospitals. Patients with VRE bacteremia were enrolled. Serial blood samples were collected, and real-time quantitative PCR testing was used to monitor the bacterial load in patients. 108 patients with VRE bacteremia were enrolled. Quantitative PCR assays were performed on over 400 blood isolates. 63 patients received a conventional dose of daptomycin, which was defined as anywhere from 6 to 9 milligrams per kilo. 15 patients received high-dose dapto, anything above 9 milligrams per kilo, and 30 patients were treated with linezolid 600 milligrams every 12 hours. In each case, monotherapy against VRE was used. Survivors had a more rapid early bacterial clearance than non-survivors. Multivariable logistic regression showed that a slower early bacterial clearance independently predicted an increased mortality with an odds ratio of 3.21, which was statistically significant. The conventional dose of daptomycin was associated with a significantly slower rate of bacterial clearance than both the high-dose daptomycin and linezolid. The authors concluded, we found that survivors of VRE bloodstream infection had a significantly more rapid early bacterial clearance by quantitative PCR than non-survivors. High-dose daptomycin and linezolid were associated with more rapid bacterial clearance than conventional dose daptomycin. And these results support recommendations that conventional dose daptomycin not be used for the treatment of patients with VRE bloodstream infection. The study highlights the importance of using the correct dose of daptomycin for VRE bacteremia. Other studies that add to the evidence for using high-dose dapto for VRE have been discussed back in episode 153 and 91. Sometimes the dose of daptomycin at 10 milligrams per kilo seems excessive, especially for obese patients, and providers are hesitant to use the higher dose. If I cannot convince a provider to use high-dose daptomycin for VRE bacteremia, then I ask to switch to linezolid instead, as this should lead to a better chance of a good outcome for the patient compared to a lower dose of daptomycin. The drug information question for this episode is, should lidocaine be added to potassium infusions to reduce pain? And my answer is, I don't think it's worth the risk. I was surprised to hear that this practice is still considered. There are some small studies from the late 1980s that examined potassium chloride with and without lidocaine to reduce infusion pain. But there are also case reports of medication errors, some very significant, associated with the practice of adding lidocaine to potassium infusions. There are many other options for reducing infusion pain with potassium chloride, including diluting the infusion further, slowing the rate, using oral replacement, and using a small bore IV in a large vein. I think the potential risk of adding lidocaine to potassium infusions outweighs the potential benefit, and I personally avoid this practice. and my tip for responding to inpatient medical emergencies. Remember that rapid sequence intubation is not indicated in a patient with a crash airway. A crash airway scenario is when the patient is unconscious in apneic or in cardiorespiratory arrest. These patients may be intubated without any pre-medication. If a patient with a crash airway is not sufficiently relaxed, they may receive a dose of a paralytic without sedation. This is perhaps the only scenario where a paralytic may be considered without the patient being adequately sedated first. Keep careful track of the time you've given a paralytic for a crash airway. In the event of a return of spontaneous circulation, you'll want to check the time against the duration of action of the paralytic to ensure that the patient does not experience an awake but paralyzed scenario. To celebrate 3 years of podcasting at pharmacyjoe.com, I'm giving away 3 copies of my book, A Pharmacist's Guide to Inpatient Medical Emergencies, and my 6-module Code Blue and Rapid Response Training Program for hospital pharmacists. To enter the giveaway contest, go to pharmacyjoe.com/3. That's the number 3, or T-H-R-E-E. The contest ends the evening of Tuesday, July 24th. Thank you so much for listening. I'll see you in the next episode of the Elective Rotation.